Yeah, welcome to Radio Wasteland. I forgot that I was doing this. I'm bringing us in today because our co-host here, or real host, Chauncey, is stoned on NyQuil, but clearly I'm doing a better job. I'm Kara Kittrick. This is Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal radio, and he's Chauncey Haworth.
Hello.
I think I nailed that.
You did nail that.
All right, well, do we have any news today?
I do have news. I don't know if Stone on NyQuil is really a sales pitch for me, but yes, I believe I got the flu, unfortunately. Part of our news should be that I got the flu shot, and I think I got the flu, so everybody, watch out.
Yeah, so you heard it here first. The flu shot doesn't work and probably kills you.
Right, and I'm slightly more better at counting fish sticks. Space alien research could get its first grad program. ScientificAmerican.com reports that scientists aim to make the search for extraterrestrial intelligence academically respectable. One day in spring 2018, astrophysics professor Jason Wright gave his students a tall order: make a substantial, novel contribution to the search for extraterrestrial intelligence in a semester. Research that is usually reserved for PhD dissertations. The initial class was an experiment, but it is now in Penn State's official course catalog and represents the university's first small step in boosting SETI research. The giant leap will be in the creation of the Penn State Extraterrestrial Intelligence Center, or PSETI Center, hopefully not pronounced P-SETI. Airbnb ghost not as friendly as advertised. Airbnb CEO Brian Chesky has opened up about the weirdest complaint a user has ever made, and it involves a debatably friendly ghost named Stanley. A visitor at one of his Airbnbs apparently called in for a refund, and when asked why, the visitor responded with, "Because the house is haunted, and there's a ghost in the house." Chesky's team needed to verify the claim and rang the host, assuming they would deny that their property was haunted, and lacking any supernatural photographic evidence, it would be case closed. That wasn't the case. Turns out that the owner knows of the ghost, Stanley, and that the ghost is friendly and is included in the description of the house in the Airbnb app and part of the reason why the people stayed there. "Yes, we knew about Stanley," they said. "That's why we booked it. But Stanley has been harassing us all night." Chesky was at a loss, saying, "How do you adjudicate that? There is no playbook for this stuff. It was not clarified how the case was settled, leaving me to assume that it was settled with murder." Gizmodo.com, how Tom DeLonge's UFO research group got those alien alloys. Last week, we had our guest, William Pullen, guest and friend William Pullen, on. One of the topics we discussed was these metamaterials.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out we do now know how they got those alloys. We had discussed it last week. We didn't know at the time.
Yes.
Rather than finding them in the shattered remains of an extraterrestrial spacecraft, the To the Stars Academy, the TTSA, or if you put the first T in the acronym, it would be the TTTSA, reportedly acquired the metamaterials from UFO researcher Linda Moulton Howe for $35,000 for the purposes of further study.
Well, where did she get them?
Moulton Howe published Thursday. She said that she, in turn, acquired them from late conspiracy theorist and Coast to Coast AM host Art Bell, along with documents purportedly written by a U.S. Army sergeant stating they were found by the sergeant's grandfather.
Well, where did the sergeant's grandfather find them?
I don't know. That's your job as a researcher. And finally, NASA's life-hunting Mars 2020 rover will search for alien microfossils.
Ooh.
Jezero crater, the 28-mile-wide crater hole in the ground that the Mars 2020 rover will begin exploring in February 2021, has ample deposits of minerals that are good at preserving microfossils here on Earth. Two new studies have found one of those minerals is hydrated silica. After poring over data gathered by the Compact Reconnaissance Imaging Spectrometer for Mars, or the CRISM, instrument aboard NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, a team of researchers identified two Jezero outcrops that are rich in the stuff. Orbital imagery has also revealed the remnants of a large delta, which makes where the rivers drained into the giant lake. Deltas are good areas to search for signs of life because these regions concentrate deposits from all over river systems. Mars 2020, which will soon get a new moniker via student naming competition, is scheduled to launch on July 2020 and arrive February 18th, 2021. Another life-hunting Mars rover, the European-Russian robot Rosalind Franklin, will hit the red dirt in another yet-to-be-announced location at around the same time. Will Martian microbial life fly the red and white-blue stripes of the United States or the Russian flag, which is also red, white, and blue stripes? Back to you, Kara.
So it doesn't really matter, I guess.
Well, you turn it on its side.
Well, that was some wild news there. I particularly like the one with Stanley, the apparently not-so-friendly ghost.
Yeah.
That is just peak consumer behavior, to stay at a place because it's haunted.
Yeah,
and then complain because it's not haunted in the way that you wanted it to be haunted.
Right, that you're not keeping the ghost in line. I thought the ghost was in on this thing. You know, are you going to dock his pay?
Yeah, I wanted the ghost to be a little nicer.
Right, how is this going to go?
The ghost could have smiled more.
Right, the ghost could have smiled more. Yeah, that's exactly right.
That is incredibly pathetic and also very funny.
Yeah. And then, you know, I got to say, it's actually pretty exciting, the space alien grad research. I think that's kind of cool that people are being inspired to do that because...
Well, SETI has been around for a long, long time.
And as a lot of the topics here, you know, take a look at Egyptology.
Sure.
How they talk about how we really need new blood in there to think about things and stuff like that. People's careers are not based on anything yet. They can kind of throw out some new ideas. And if it yields nothing, well, I'm sure it was fun to think about it, you know, which is what these people are going to school for anyway.
Right. That's how science advances in the first place is, you know, people think of stuff and, you know, they test it out and it probably isn't anything. But, you know, eventually they do find something.
And then finally, I just got to ask the final question, man. And that is, between the United States, Russia, and Europe, we're going to be spending billions upon billions of dollars with the idea that we're going to Mars looking for life. Doesn't that lead one to believe that they think they're going to find something?
Well, you know, they might find something. It probably just won't be very exciting. Like, I doubt they're going to Mars to look for the, you know, I doubt they have the alien map from Roswell that there, you know, is a map of a delta on Mars and they're looking into it to find the secret alien treasure.
Is this the world we really live in now where if they find microbial life on Mars, nobody's going to think it's all that exciting?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Fiction has ruined us.
Fiction has ruined us. I don't think it's fiction that ruined us.
Fake things are just more exciting than real things.
What if it kills one of them?
Okay, that would be awesome.
If it killed and
really
ate one of them.
I really want that to happen,
And then died because of the poisoning of being a different life.
Like the Andromeda strain.
Right.
Like he'll vomit up all his blood.
Right, right.
Into a spacesuit. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, I really want that to happen now. Condolences to the families of astronauts who have died.
You ever listen to Curtis Mayfield?
No, I don't know.
We can't play the song on the show because of the lyrics, so don't get it queued up. But he has a song called If There's a Hell Below, We're All Gonna Go. And
that's accurate.
I think that's the case.
Yeah, I imagine it's pretty crowded down there.
All right.
Only warm because of all the body heat.
Right, yeah. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're going to be talking about real-life government conspiracies.
Yep.
Ones that we know.
Happened. Historically proven.
Historically proven.
Come on
regardless
back.
Of how we feel about it. Come on back.
Oh, yeah. Swing that thing.
Some things in life you can just rely on. like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Your friendly oil change.
At Premier Oil Change, we pride ourselves in efficiency and customer service. We love to hear what our guests have to say about us. Mary said,
"Best service yet, guys. Thanks."
Gene commented,
"Always polite, friendly, fast, and efficient."
Pat wrote,
"The crew is always friendly, and they get me in and out."
Lindsay said,
"We always come here, amazing and fast."
Come experience Premier Oil Change for yourself. Our trained technicians will take care of your maintenance while you wait in the comfort and safety of your vehicle. Enjoy free beverages and Wi-Fi while we do the rest. No appointment required, just drive in. Stop by a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM as well as online and, as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Tonight we are talking about real government conspiracies with our lovely host, Kara Kittrick.
Indeed.
Kara, you know, so we all look at government conspiracies and we look at them and we think, oh, that's a conspiracy. But there's quite a few that are really quite real. The one that comes to mind for me was blacks in the draft in Vietnam, in California, where basically they were targeting
preferentially selected. Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah. So there's a lot like that.
How bad does this get?
Oh, it gets awful. I kind of wanted to do this show to answer a question: when a real government conspiracy happens, what does it look like? Because I'm generally, as any regular listener knows, really hard on conspiracy theories because I think too many of them sort of fall into the category of every milkman knows aliens are real and they aren't telling.
Right.
You know. But obviously real conspiracies can
happen. Or the conspiracy that there are actually still milkmen.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah. Like, you know, they just get too fanciful and too implausible generally.
Right.
Just involve too many people about something that, you know, is too big to want to conceal.
So when we're looking at some of these older ones, are we seeing such a homogenized version, or are we actually seeing these levels of depth that we're seeing?
We're seeing some pretty insane levels of depth, more so with So I kind of want to break it into two categories. We've sort of got our foreign policy conspiracies, where, like, the leaders of our country did something real shady for money.
Right.
And then your sort of domestic conspiracies, which the ones I want to talk about basically involve, like, experimenting on people.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So, yeah, that's some good stuff.
Where do you want to start?
I want to start with the foreign policy ones. All right. Because
we'll save the nasty stuff for later.
Well, the foreign policy ones are probably the worst ones, just in terms of sheer people, like,
right,
affected.
Of course, yes.
But so I think generally in this category we're talking about coups where the United States looked at another country and said, "We want what you have. Let's find out a way to take it."
Right.
So, let's start with Operation Ajax. That's the 1953 Iranian coup. So the democratically elected prime minister of Iran wanted to nationalize their oil, which put them at odds with the British Petroleum Company, who didn't want to have their Iran-based assets, you know, seized and bought back. So they lobbied for the UK and US government to overthrow the prime minister and reinstall an absolute monarch in the form of the Shah, which basically just means Persian king. And so that's exactly what they did. First, the British government started an embargo of Iranian oil, which, you know, fair, I guess, kind of, you know, the Iranians did something they didn't like, so they did economic sanctions in return, and that kind of plunged the country into chaos. And so, of course, the prime minister had to take some harsh measures to keep order, and that's sort of what they used as an excuse, the U.S. and the U.K., to get rid of him.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, okay, here's this guy leading his people. He wants to socialize the oil.
Yeah, he basically wants the oil to be owned by the country.
We basically look for him to mess up once so that we can put up embargoes that will put his country into economic hardships, causing his people to get pissed at him in order to help us overthrow him and be replaced by somebody we know will do what we want.
Sort of. We did the embargo before he messed up. We did the embargo so that he would mess up. Like, he was extremely popular. And then there was an oil embargo, and, like, the economy crashed.
So what was our justification of the embargo? I mean, was that a secret?
There was no justification, basically.
Just nobody was paying attention.
Well,
did it.
Yeah, it was kind of like nationalizing the oil is hostile to our British-based company, therefore we shall retaliate with economic sanctions.
Right.
Of course, this being 1953, Britain versus Iran. If Britain wants to bully Iran economically,
right,
like, this is a much, much bigger economy.
Right.
So they can kind of just break the economy of whatever country they so choose.
Right.
And so that's what they did. And so the prime minister, you know, takes some dodgy steps. Basically, he suspended elections for a while. And so the U.S. and the U.K. say, see, he's corrupt and he's a communist.
Right.
Let's get rid of him.
I see.
Which, to be clear, he was not a communist.
I see.
Yeah. So that's kind of the pattern. And I'm going through that one in detail because we did that exact same time thing a zillion times.
Yeah, to Iraq with the Ba'ath Party and all sorts of overthrow of regimes in order to.
Well, yeah, so 1954, just a year later, in Guatemala, we did the same thing. Same exact thing, just replace BP with the United Fruit Company and replace oil with bananas.
Big fruit.
Big fruit, exactly. So what happened there is that the United Fruit Company owned a lot of the land in Guatemala. That the company itself had a bigger economy than the actual country. Guatemala decided, hey, you're discriminating against our workers, you're paying us nothing, you're taking our natural resources, and the money goes to a foreign country. We don't even get it to keep it in our borders, so we're going to pay you this price for your land, and we're going to take it back.
Right.
And we didn't like that, so we overthrew them.
You know, it's funny, because both of these are very great up in today's world. Both of these, in today's world, people would look at them and basically say, For one, it's kind of gray. For two, we do it all the time. For three, those are crap hole countries that basically provide no other value. You know, they have a whole list of terrible or positive or different ways of justifying the normality of these things. You know?
Right. Well, I think it's kind of become normal. At the time, this wasn't that usual, at least not in the U.S. Obviously, like, Britain did this all the time. But see, this was after World War II. This was kind of after we went from just having colonies, just enslaving entire countries, to saying, okay, we aren't going to have colonies anymore. We're going to play nice.
Right.
So this was kind of an improvement. This was like, okay, we're not technically doing colonialism.
Right.
We're just making sure no one can do anything that we disagree with. And so, like, we have – this kind of thing hasn't stopped. We did this in Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Panama, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Peru, which you may recognize as basically all of South America.
Yeah.
And also 20 or so countries in the Middle East.
So I guess the argumentative question would be, are any of these countries better off for it?
Well, no. Not really.
I guess there's no way of really telling what this
there's really no way of knowing. A lot of countries have gotten away with nationalizing stuff, but it's hard because it's stuff that no one wanted.
And is that a big part of what we're fighting when we do this? Is the nationalization of stuff.
That's usually what it is. It's usually just we want continued access to these resources.
So it creates a large gray area between our war on communism and our desire for money via capitalism.
Almost all of these were justified by saying that the people in question were communists, whether they were or whether they weren't. Mostly they weren't.
I see. And is that the hub argument for almost any time we're messing with another country's government system?
Pretty much. I mean, today it's changed.
I know that was going on in Vietnam, you know.
Right. Today it's like, we'll say they're violating their people's civil rights, which, like, yeah. Well,
personally, that sounds better to me.
Yes. It does, but when you realize that every leader violates their citizens' civil rights, unless it's an extremely rich country. So it's like, where do we intervene? Where it's in our interest to intervene.
Right.
You know, we find an excuse.
Yeah, I was wondering about that when we were going to liberate the Iraqis.
Exactly.
You know, I was wondering, and don't get me wrong, I don't know what the right answer is, but at the time I was thinking, wow, isn't there like a whole country to the south of us that needs some help? That's like right there. It'd be a lot cheaper to get the troops there if we're really just going to help liberate people.
Yeah, well, that was supposed to be about, you know, WMDs, and then we awkwardly found that there weren't any, and so we had to, you know, change our story of why we did it.
Right.
We couldn't just say, we shouldn't have been here, this was a mistake.
Right.
You know, we had to say, okay, there were no WMDs, but it was still a good idea for these other reasons.
Right.
You know, we had to justify it. But anyway, I wanted to include this kind of conspiracy because, in general, this is a conspiracy between the government and corporations. It's usually like 50 or 100 people calling the shots here.
Right.
And it's kind of the rest of society goes along with it.
Right.
Because
a lot of these, as we learn about them, we're not hearing about them as conspiracies. We're just hearing about them as something that went on because they're no longer conspiracies. We know.
Exactly.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. If any of those conspiracies pissed you off, that's because you're on one side of the aisle, and the other side of the aisle has other conspiracies. We're going to be covering a lot of them. There are a lot of different kinds and a lot of different stuff. We're not really picking sides here, so come on back, stick around, hang out, and listen. Maybe you'll find one you like. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
This is
is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
The Bathroom Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Bathroom Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Bathroom Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Bathroom Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, 6 p.m., North State Now.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we are talking about real U.S. government conspiracies. And we're about to get, a little body horror, a little Kafka-esque. We're going to talk about experimentation on actual people.
Yeah, I don't know how much body horror there is here.
How often do I get to drop the term, you know?
Well, if you live my life, then every morning.
I see. That's terrifying.
Anyway, so the other sort of major category of conspiracies is stuff is mostly experiments, and it's sort of difficult to think of why a lot of these happened, because there wasn't a lot of money in them. It's mostly just being awful for science, I guess, except most of these experiments, because they were so unethical, had, like, very little in the way of controls and left behind pretty much no useful scientific data. So
I'm going to take a guess that it has more to do with military and warfare than it has.
Well, that's exactly right. But I would assume the military wants people to do good science. Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe it wants people to do stuff that looks like they're really digging intensely into some stuff. And, you know, regardless of whether anything useful comes out of it. So one of the more famous ones in terms of the U.S. being awful to people it didn't really consider people is probably the Tuskegee experiments, which went from 1932 to 1972. It was a study that was supposed – so it was like a voluntary study. It was supposed to go for 6 months. It actually went for 40 years. Basically, they took a bunch of black people who had syphilis but didn't know it, and a bunch of – and they had, like, a control group who didn't have syphilis. And for 40 years, they monitored their health and just, you know, kept an eye on the progression of the disease and what was happening. The unethical part is that they didn't let any of the black people know that they had syphilis. And after 10 years, penicillin existed, which could be used to treat syphilis if you catch it early, which they did not bother to do because they wanted to see what would happen with the disease. And so the intent was to just continue the experiment until, I think the quote was, until they were all dead and autopsied. That didn't happen because there was a leak in 1972, and then the general public sort of learned what was happening, and they shut it down. But by then, most of the people had died of syphilis anyhow.
Right.
So, yeah, and actually the funny part is that leak may kind of be too strong of a word, since, in fact, the results of the study had been published in medical journals up till this point. So if you were a doctor, it wasn't really secret. It just took about 40 years for someone to read that and say, that seems unethical.
Really?
Yeah, so eventually in 1966, someone read a study about this and was like, they can't do that. That's not how you science.
Yeah, so there was no justification behind it other than we wanted to know what would happen.
It was literally
just... the argument is these people aren't going to figure it out for themselves, so we might as well watch what happens.
Precisely, yeah.
Did they give them the disease?
There is kind of a popular conspiracy theory that they did, but that's not...
That's not part of the proven conspiracy.
That's not part of the proven part. Syphilis had been a big problem, especially in poor communities, which at that time was a lot of black communities.
Of course,
which is,
yeah.
You know, why they were – that's where they were studying it. So personally, I doubt that they bothered to give anyone the disease. I don't think they would have had to.
I see.
I think it's plenty horrible that they could have treated it and they didn't because they wanted to see what would happen.
Right.
And to the best of my knowledge, nothing particularly useful came out of that study.
It's like Wild America, you know, when they're watching the tiger eat the little gazelle and stuff, and, you know, my wife's
kinda,
there,
yeah,
screaming at the TV going, why don't they save it instead of just letting it get eaten?
Yeah. So eventually, after 8 years, these doctors who took notice, you know, managed to get the mainstream media to, like, pay attention to this. And so in the 70s, they ended the experiment because there was an outcry about how awful it was.
Yeah, I want to say that it wasn't even until Clinton's presidency that our government publicly apologized for it.
Yeah, it was during his presidency. That's accurate. So there was another one, actually. The U.S. Conducted experiments with basically the same methodology in Guatemala. Again, Guatemala's not doing too well in this particular show. They did that on STDs, and it was basically the same exact thing and almost the same time period, 50s to 70s. And then they apologized for that.
Well,
so those are two of the major conspiracies. But then, of course, there's the most famous one, which everyone knows about, mainly because it involved white people, too, MKUltra. And also mainly because it was so weird. MKUltra was a CIA mind control program based around the idea that the new psychedelics of the 50s and 60s could be used to alter behavior in useful ways. So this was kind of a bust, since what psychedelics actually do is make people pet the furniture rather than obey subliminal messages, but they didn't know that at the time. So researchers used drugs, electroshocks, hypnosis, sensory deprivation, verbal and sexual abuse, and isolation against U.S. and Canadian citizens, almost always without their consent, and often without their knowledge of what was happening. So they would drug people and not tell them.
Sweet, because that works out well.
Yeah, and their methodology, there was no control group. It was literally, we want to see what happens.
Right.
How does this affect people? So that went on from 53 to 73, and was first revealed to the public in 1975. So one of the things that's so paranoia-inducing about MKUltra is that in 73, that was Watergate time. The government was panicking over Watergate, and they were shredding all their incriminating files, which included MKUltra. So they destroyed most of the MKUltra files. So we don't actually know how many people were affected or what exactly was done. We know,
and on what scale.
Yeah, we're still finding out that there were new that there's new stuff that was part of the program. You know, we found out a few decades ago that it involved foreign POWs in U.S. detention camps, as well as U.S. and Canadian citizens. December 2018, declassified documents revealed that scientists in MKUltra were also working on brain implants in dogs, which could make them run, stop, and turn via remote control.
Given the technology of the era, I can imagine that that did not look horrific at all.
Oh, yeah. I imagine, you know, like that dental headgear.
Yeah.
That the geeky kid in movies wears.
Yeah.
I imagine that, like, stapled to a Commodore 64 with a long plug.
Right. I was thinking of basically an open womb with a Commodore VIC 20 and a tape deck shoved in its back. You know, just something terrible. Yeah, you know, but I have to admit, this mind control one, giving people syphilis, you know, and then purpose, I don't know, targeting brown people with sexually transmitted diseases makes no sense to me. But
it's not great.
Trying to mind control people with drugs that they knew were giving people mental trips that everybody thought were spiritual at the time, that actually makes some sense to me as a government.
Sure, yeah.
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying it makes sense. The other one to me is just like, you know, bat blank crazy.
Well, their methodology was not even really a methodology, though.
Well, that's because
the thing I have a problem with.
It's blunt instrument, you know. It's blunt force testing. They're not there to create. They're there to destroy. I mean, this is, you know, basically. Yeah. And I'm sure that was the case with sexually transmitted diseases. It's like, can we use this as some way to destroy the local populace or bring down the local populace or sterilize a population or something like that? You know, I'm sure was their goal. It's purely a destructive.
Right. This was basically weapons research. They weren't trying to learn a whole lot, but kind of seems like a waste to me. I don't know.
It does. It does. Yeah, it does. I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well get the money that comes from it. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I don't think we were. You know, at the time, people hadn't figured out that selling software was where the money was at. They were still working on hardware.
That is true. Yeah, what's interesting to me is that, so there were a lot of little sort of sub-programs. Operation Midnight Climax was sort of associated with MKUltra. That was, they used, the CIA paid prostitutes to lure people into CIA safe houses where they were unwittingly dosed with psychoactive drugs and then observed from behind a mirror. Right. Same kind of idea, similarly lurid and ridiculous.
That sounds like late night television.
It does, right?
That's like HBO Cab Confirmed. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some more United States proven conspiracies.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/changethe culture.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking about real-life U.S. conspiracies. That's the real ones, the ones that we know went on. You know, there's a lot of arguments, oh, we didn't do that, we did do that, we didn't do this. Mm-hmm. There are a few that we know, a few that we did do.
Yeah, and we could do a whole series on this because there's a lot more. The U.S. has done a lot of bad stuff. I do want to stress, like, I'm picking on the U.S. because that's where I'm from.
Yeah, this is what the show's about.
It'd be weird if I picked on Australia, but I could.
Right. Yeah.
Like, they have.
This is what the show's about. I mean, we've learned some valuable lessons here. You know, we're obviously opposed to nuclear war.
Are we?
But we're the only ones who've ever used one.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean.
You mean our country is,
right.
Not we as the show, because our stated position here at Radio Wasteland is that we welcome the apocalypse.
It's in the name. It's in the name, the Wasteland. But yeah, so hopefully nobody gets the idea that, you know, we're coming down on our own home sweet home. We like it here. We hope to stay. So please don't kick us out. But, you know.
Give you free drugs and you'll jump out a window.
Right.
That happened to a dude from MK Ultra, Frank Olson.
Right. But, you know, it leaves us wondering, you know, the people in power need to be in check. And with us coming up in this election, both sides are very much thinking that.
Sure.
Yeah. You know. But I was watching Bill Maher, and I think Bill Maher said it pretty good. And that is that the price of living in a free country is living next door to some jerk that you don't even slightly agree with. And that's what living in a free country means. And I think he said it more and less eloquently at the same time. Plus, I'm high on cough syrup, so
sure.
I don't know how to state it. But it was a good point. His point was basically, I'm going on vacation for Thanksgiving. When you go home on Thanksgiving, try to enjoy your Thanksgiving instead of trying to fight your family.
Yeah. Well, so this is, we've been talking about stuff that was very much committed by people in power who are, I think, for the most part, so far, so powerful that they are just really far above all the stuff that normal people argue about.
Right.
You know, especially since a lot of this happened in, like, the 50s. And in the 50s, Democrats and Republicans were basically the same. You know? People argue that they're all the same today. But they were really the same back then.
Really?
You know, it was kind of just two factions. And sure, you know, they differed on things like, you know, I think the tariff should be this. I think the tariff should be this. You know, they really didn't differ on a whole lot of the big stuff, except when there was a civil war that one time.
Sure.
That was different. But post-World War II, I would argue that the two parties were very much in line, to the point when, like, you know, an obvious example is the Civil Rights Act passed by Johnson against most of his party, because he was, like, the Democrats were kind of representing the South at the time,
right.
And the South did not vote for it. Republicans did.
Right.
So, you know, things were more bipartisan back then because they weren't really very Democratic back then. It was kind of just an oligarchy who all
One thing that's been thrown to me is a possible downfall in our government, and I don't know what year it happened. I want to say somewhere in the 60s and 70s, is that a transparency law was passed that all the senators and representatives had a transparency on their voting.
Right.
And so now all their constituents can see exactly what they vote for. So there was no more backroom deals of, I'll give you a little bit of this for a little bit of what I want and stuff's going to get done. And at that point, it slowly became more and more hardlined to the point where people couldn't backroom deal a little bit in order to give a little to get a little.
Yeah, well, so I know what you're talking about, and that wasn't that was in the 90s. That wasn't that long ago.
In the 90s?
Yeah. And another thing that happened, I don't know.
I was alive then.
Yeah. Well, me too. In the last...
Yeah, but I
mean, I was...
I had purpose.
But,
I had
yeah,
a
okay.
job.
And sometime in, like, the last 10 years, there was also a thing passed that made it much harder to, like, get pork barrel spending. You know, when you say, in a totally unrelated bill, you know, this is a bill about funding our troops, but it also says we're going to fund some random construction project in, you know, some random town.
Oh, right.
And that stuff was kind of essential to getting, like, both parties on board with stuff.
Right.
So I think our system is more democratic and more representative than it ever has been before. And as a result, we're realizing that half of America has absolutely nothing in common with the other half of America in terms of, you know, goals and intentions.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
we're, you know, we're just going to have to deal with that. So I think I just inadvertently made a case for conspiracies, but
a case for them to exist.
Yeah, well, because I'm saying, like, things only ever got done because
they were sneaking around?
Because they were sneaking around and didn't care about the public, and it was basically, you know, this incestuous primordial pool of corruption and graft, and that's the environment in which a lot of these conspiracies happened.
Right. Yeah.
Things like MKUltra, I don't think they happen to the same degree today. As a result, our government is completely paralyzed, but they don't.
Yeah, but a thing like MKUltra, it's like these conspiracies, you know, it's like, where do they start from? You know,
sure.
It's like, it makes you wonder, like...
Well, a lot of these, I think everything I mentioned today happened within the context of the Cold War. So that's
yeah, but
thing.
Somebody, you know, Big Fruit motivated
true.
The government to go after the Guatemalan bananas.
Right.
You know, and like how, you know, our government is a great idea because we have, you know, three separate houses, three separate stuff, and we all got to checks and balances and blah, blah, blah. But it also creates a lot of facets for people to do potential things in the name of our country when they aren't out there because there isn't one floodgate that it's going through.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah, you don't have to get that many people on board to do something awful. Just the right people.
Right. You know, and it's like, so you got black ops, everything's redacted. Mm-hmm. You got white ops, it's not even written down. You know, it's like, so the military obviously was what was going on with the sexually transmitted diseases and with MK Ultra.
Yeah,
and
well,
lobbyists are probably
agencies.
What was going on with oil news. And Big Fruit.
Exactly.
I love the fact that there's Big Fruit. You know, every time there's a problem, every time there's a consumer problem, my wife and I refer to it as Big Whatever.
It is
like Big Sofa is like taken down, because like I can't go out and just start growing potatoes and selling. Big Potato is going to come in and stop me at some point.
No, exactly.
I have to go by Big Potato rules, or you know.
Well, you can't even start because you know they are selling their potatoes for cents, and right. you can't. You can't.
Well, going
even
on right now,
those prices.
I'll throw out a conspiracy before the end of our show here that mm-hmm. applies to me personally. I am an ex-smoker.
Sure.
I vape.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
I'm a vape bro. And so here in Shasta County, they're looking to outlaw the vapes. And across the country, they're looking to outlaw the vapes because all the teens and all the youngsters are doing the vapes. They're doing their fancy flavors. They're not going to outlaw the vapes. They're going to outlaw the fancy flavors. What's that going to do? Here's what that's going to do. It's not going to stop the kids from vaping. That's somebody else's job. If you want to save the kids from something, outlaw alcohol, where none of us can get to it, because kids are obviously still getting that. What it's going to do is the industry of people like me who want to buy those other flavors and stuff like that, all these vape shops that you see around town are going to go out of business. People will still be addicted to nicotine, but there'll only be one kind you can get that you can get at your local podunk gas station.
From Big Nicotine.
Exactly. It's basically, and then watch, within 5 years, they're going to start rolling out new flavors again because there was no law passed. Nothing was done. They basically just created a situation that put all this stuff out of business.
Yeah, I mean, I'm as left as they come, but, like, in general, I'm more in favor of, like, guillotining the wealthy than doing regulations, because a lot of times they just have the effect of putting small companies out of business and helping big companies, because the way our system is set up, every time you try to regulate a company, that company is going to be the one writing the regulation.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I know. But I mean, I just want my bubblegum flavored vape juice.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Well, so someone said, hey, this is a problem. Some parents said this is a problem, and they wrote to a congressperson, and the congressperson said, hey, this is a problem. And the big cigarette lobbyist said, we'll take it from here.
Right.
And they wrote a law to suit their interests.
Right.
Does not solve the problem. Yeah. It just helps them.
Right. So basically it's Big Fruit all over again.
It is Big Fruit all over again.
All right. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your